I love that song, "To God Be the Glory." Somebody came in here and said, "There's a man down the road. He's been coming there and teaching, and there have been people that have had blind eyes, and he just humbly prayed for them, and they could see. And people had all these different types of diseases. They came and listened to him, and sitting out there in the crowd, they just believed. And the Lord came, and that man prayed for him, and they were healed." We'd say, "Where'd you say he is?" Think I'm going to be there. He there every Wednesday night, or what? I want to be there. We should never forget what the Lord's doing for us now. Sister Lenita's sitting over there. There was a time when she was about to die. And most of us sitting here remember that. We saw the color, the loss of weight, the inability. And it was the Lord that brought her through. Sister Charlotte has over and over and over again had things happen to her. And she can tell us, "The Lord's brought me through." I remember a time when I was very sick myself. High fever. I'm certain I had pneumonia. And I remember, this was years ago, most of you don't remember old Brother Stover. Some of you do. He came by. I barely had the strength to sit in the chair as he anointed and put his hands on me. And humbly, he didn't leap on the altar. He didn't demand anything of God except humbly brought me to his Father. And while the prayer was going forth, something flowed down all over my body. I've never had that experience like that since. Not that type of a touch anyway, but I felt it. And as it flowed from the top down to the bottom, the fever broke, the headache left, the coughing began to be productive, and I started coughing this stuff out. I was almost afraid to move after he said amen, because I thought, "Am I going to break this spell?" No, the Lord had done a work. That's something I can tell you. And I want to tell you, there's still, to God be the glory, there's still one that hears our prayers and answers. I can also tell you that same one that was healing blind eyes and raising people from the dead, that one said, "If you'll follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. If you'll follow me, I'll change you." And he met a man named Legion who was infested with evil. And he set him free. And he was clothed in his right mind. That's the one. And you could say yes, but that man died. But I can say yes, but that man rose. And he's ever reigning in heaven. And he said, "I'll be with you." And I want to encourage us this morning. We've come here together. And I love to see your face. And I say thank you for coming. I'm glad we can come here and worship the Lord together. But we're here to worship the Lord. And we want to turn our hearts and minds now this morning to Him. But as we're here, that's the purpose that we're here. We should smile and hug each other's necks, say, "I love you," and encourage one another. But we're here to hug our Lord's neck and tell Him, "Lord, I love you, and I want to be your dear child today." Didn't mean to get off in preacher mode while we're taking prayer requests. Yes.
To God be the glory. Not even a year ago, we was out of town. And I found out later on that a blood clot, not blood clot, but several of them, through several days, it went through my heart. and into my lungs. They say it has to go through your heart first before it gets into your lungs. And Marcia was showing me some pictures the other day, and she had a robe and she had it laid over me. And if anybody knows me, I've been a strong man all my life, and I'm not saying that bragging. I was born that way. God just blessed me. I've been able to work hard. Saints, I was so weak. I couldn't lift my head. I couldn't lift my hand, my arms. I just lay in there like a dead man. I should have been dead. But to God be the glory. They say normally it kills you the first time, instantly usually. And saints, I laid there for 2 or 3 days. I don't know, I can't remember a lot of it, but I just laid there. I couldn't hardly do anything. And I looked at that picture and I said, thank you, God.
Yes. Thank the
you
Lord.
You spared me for a reason. I don't know why, but I don't want to be quiet when he inspires me to say something. I know he done it for a reason. But saints, God can bring us down.
Yes.
I was so weak. Yes. I looked at that picture and I thought, oh my, how close to eternity I was. And I was saved. I was trying to live for God. But when you come to that point in your life, it changes your life. It's changed my life. And I want to give God the glory. I mean, I've never been where I couldn't lift my head.
Yeah.
I couldn't even hardly move. I don't know if I could move, maybe barely. But thank God, he spared my life. And I want to give him the glory for it. It's
Amen.
Not me. Man might be able to do a few things for you, but I'm going to tell you something. Only God can heal us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can cut our hands and put a Band-Aid over it. That's all we can do. But how does that heal up over a few days or a few weeks and is gone? That's the healing power of God. I'm testifying here today. I thank God for his healing power.
Amen.
He spared my life, and I want to thank him for it.
Yes.
And I want to praise God for being one of his children. You
yes,
pray for me in
too.
Sunday school. I want to make heaven my home. I was talking to somebody the other day. He said, Jerry, they're getting older like me. They said, I'm desperate. I'm desperate to make it.
Me too. Yes.
Saints, I want to be desperate to make it.
Yes, amen.
We talked about some of the weights and different things. Yes, God give us this life to enjoy, but yet at the same time, let's ever keep heaven in view.
Yes.
Indeed. It says, whatsoever things are honest, pure, on these things, think on these things. Yes, we have families, Thanksgiving coming up, Christmas coming up, there's nothing wrong. But let's keep heaven in view.
Yes, indeed.
Let's not lose sight of heaven. If we do in this wicked world, in this wicked day and age, we're not going to make it. But by the grace of God and by his love and his mercy, Sister Marcia preached a message last Sunday morning about the mercy of God. I never got a hold of it like that. I thank God for his mercy. You pray for me that I'll always serve God.
Yes.
And that I won't do anything to put a bad, I don't know what the word would be, on the Lord, because he has all that we need. He has. Brother Austin Wilson said there at Monarch one time, his grace is as free as the air we breathe.
Mm-hmm.
Our government would tax the sun, they would tax our breath if they could. But it's free. His grace is as free
Thank
as the
Lord.
Air that we breathe.
Yeah.
And we don't even consciously know when we're breathing unless we think about it. I thank God for his grace, his love, and his mercy to me that he spared my life. You pray for me.
Yes, thank the Lord. Amen. Well, we're getting ready to go to that Lord, that loving Father of ours in prayer. And we invite, do you have any requests that you want to share as we get ready to go to the Lord in prayer?
To my friend Tanya in Michigan, yes. That she needed a Bible and she's trying to get help in her soul. Her daughter's husband died of a heart attack. And it shook her up pretty bad about that. And she wanted prayer for her family.
That's just recently, since that time.
Stacy's husband.
Lord, have mercy on him.
I forgot. I think his name was Aria, but he wasn't very old.
It was quite a shock. Amen. Lord, help the family. Sister Pam Kramer actually tried to come this morning and had to go back home. I asked the Lord to help Sister Pam Kramer. Brother Harvey, Sister Maxine, go ahead right there.
I want to thank the Lord for working in an unspoken request. And I would also like prayer for Aunt Martha.
Yes.
That the Lord would just please help her to be able to sleep. She had a pretty good month, and it seems like she's gone backwards again. So I'd like prayer for her and prayer for myself. I'm supposed to be traveling. I'll be doing quite a bit of driving. So I would like prayer for that as well. And I have some unspoken requests.
Does driving seem to hurt your hip some? Yes. Ask the Lord to help her with that. Also ask the Lord to heal this problem with her hip. She needs healing. Brother Curtis Williams, any news on that? About the same or a little? He needs help. Needs healing. Brother Willie Murphy, yes. They're in a desperate situation. Amen. Brother John and Sister Wanda.
For God's goodness to us and His protection with the children, also pray for Curtis. He had stepped on a nail, and so let's pray for his foot. And then just have a situation, Lord's wisdom and guidance on.
Amen. Amen. Laura Poe, yes. Ask the Lord to help Laura Poe. Amen. Anyone else? Noreen Harmon, your aunt, Noreen. Ask the Lord to help her. Any other requests before we go to the Lord in prayer? You might have some that's real heavy and you can't speak out. Unspoken, do you have some of those? We need the Lord here this morning. Someone lead us in prayer.
Thank you for the privilege of being here, for your blessings to us this week. Thank you for the blessing of salvation, for the hope of heaven. Thank you, Father, for so many things in life, a prosperous country, jobs, homes, friends, family, answered prayers, a great heritage, a knowledge of the truth that we weren't raised in Hindu homes or that we grew up knowing about the Lord, and we thank you for that. We thank you for the individual calls you made on our lives, convincing us to follow you, to turn away from this world. Help us, Lord, this day, and give us renewal and strength. We can't make it without you, Lord, and we acknowledge that today. And we have come into your presence, so help us to come with fear, with thanksgiving, with grateful hearts. Lord, I pray for every request that has come in today. Have mercy on the ones that are lost their loved one in Michigan. Pray that you will have mercy on all that are sick today. Have mercy on Sister Pam Kramer and Brother John Gibson, Brother Earl Benson. Have mercy on Mom. Please heal her arm and give her courage and strength. I pray for mercy on Brother Willie Murphy. Be with him and his wife in this difficult time. Give him strength and courage. Please have mercy on Brother James Bell, on Sister Diane Doolittle, Sister Laura Elwell, all the older saints that are facing difficulties in their life. Be with them all, Lord, I pray. Lord, I pray that you will have mercy on Brother Curtis Williams, that you will give him long life, many more productive years, that you will give him courage and strength until this battle is over. I pray, God, for Aunt Noreen Harmon, that you will heal her, that you will encourage her, that you will give her peace. I pray you'd bless your people that have met together at different places, that you will let your word be inspiring, that you will open the words of life, you will open our ears, our hearts, that the seeds of life will fall on good ground and bring forth an abundance. Help it to be like a leaven in the loaf that filled the whole loaf. Help our lives to be full of your grace, and help us to be like you, Lord, I pray. Lord, I pray for every unspoken request, that you will open doors and work miracles and heal bodies and relationships and work out financial needs, that you will give courage, that you will give strength where there is weakness. I pray, Father, for your people in foreign lands. You would bless the saints in Honduras today. That you would be with Brother Elin and those that are visiting in Rio Esteban today and make it a great blessing. I pray that you will be with the ones in Africa, in Europe, and everywhere in the world, every isolated saint, every persecuted saint. Encourage your people, I pray. Lord, we pray for our nation, that our leaders will fear God, will consider you above the pleasures of sin. God, have mercy and bring the fear of God back into the hearts of people, the people of our nation, that they won't hide under the cloak of false religions, but instead they will come into the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord, to be ambassadors for you, to know how to bring hope to those that need it, to be a blessing to our neighbors, to those that we meet, those we do business with. Help us to be truly disciples of Christ. Lord, I pray that you will bless in this service. You will make it a blessing to each one that is here. Pray that you will bless in the upcoming meetings in LaRonger, in the assembly meeting here in December. Bless these meetings, Lord. Talk to our young people. Encourage the saints. Talk to sinners, that they will yield their hearts to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Jesus loves me more than I can understand, fills my heart with calm assurance. I am safe inside his plan, so I will let it change and heal me. Let it ease my troubled mind. Oh, the thought that Jesus loves me, that he loves me for all time. Oh, the thought that Jesus loves me, and he loves what I will be. Some sweet day when he has finished, accomplish His creative work in me. So I will let it change and heal me. Let it ease my troubled mind. Oh, the thought that Jesus loves me, that He loves me for all time. Oh, the thought that Jesus loves me, loved when we were far apart, when my will was set against Him, loved enough to win my heart. So I will let it change and heal me. Let it ease my troubled mind. Oh, the thought that Jesus loves me, that He loves me for all time. Oh, the thought that Jesus loves me, that He chooses. Oh, the thought that Jesus loves me, that He chose a cross to die, take the death I was deserving, just to offer me new life. So I will let it change and heal me. Let it ease my troubled mind. Oh, the thought that Jesus loves me, that He loves me for all time.
That He does all of His mercies and all of His love in the pen of a writer could write every day. Even this world could never contain how I've been blessed. The warmth in the winter, the flowers in spring, the laughter of summer, the changing of leaves, food on my table, and a good place to sleep, clothes on my back, and shoes on my feet. I have been blessed. I have been blessed. God is so good to me. Precious are His thoughts of you and me. No way I could count them. There's not enough time. So I'll just thank Him for being so kind. God has been good, so good. I have been blessed. We live in a country, the greatest on earth. Our flag stands for freedom and what it is worth. She stands in the harbor, it's liberty called. All gave some, but some gave it all. We have been blessed. I have been blessed. God is so good to me. precious are His, God, of you and me. No way I could count them, there's not enough time. So I'll just thank Him for being so kind. God has been good, so good. I have been blessed.
We certainly thank the Lord for those two songs. The first one, I have to admit that that's my first time that I remember hearing it. Wonderful words, wonderful truth. I say along with the writer, thank you, Lord, for your great love. We want to ask the Lord to bless His Word this morning. Would you pray with me? Father, we are so encouraged that You love us. And our hearts are melted to know that. Father, sometimes when we look at ourselves, we are certain of our unworthiness. And yet You love, and yet You take us, and You're willing to shape us and mold us, and we want to allow You, we want to give ourselves happily to You. I ask, Father, as we come and we look into some of Your Word this morning, will You make it real to our hearts? Become personal to every one of us here today. Encourage us in our souls. Draw us within Your very arms. Lead us in a path that's clear. Even sometimes when we don't see it clearly, I ask, Lord, that You'll give us sure footing for our feet. I ask, Lord, that You'll come and bless this time now. And we'll be careful to thank You, Lord. Amen. We want to look into Philippians, the third chapter. I have written on the board, know Him. That's not a command as much as what it is, a entreaty. There was, in this chapter, the third chapter of Philippians that we are approaching, it's something Paul said within this chapter. And I believe it was down in the, I think, the 10th verse, where he said that I may know Him. He did say other things along after that I might know Him and the power of His resurrection. But I want, in all of our lives, there to be more than a fond thought that there's surely a God that loves me, that is held at arm's length, and it's something I've been told, and I can recite so much perhaps of the Scripture, and I can I can recite what we have normally heard, and I can tell you what I feel like the correct doctrine perhaps is in the Scripture, and perhaps we can recite all that, but God wants more than that. There's a reason why He wants to present Himself as Father. He presents Himself as one who cares individually. If you're here this morning, you're not left out. If you're not here this morning, you're still not left out. Because the Lord loves. On an individual level. And not only does He love, but He wants you and I to know Him. To get acquainted. I can, if I wished, I could come up with a set of doctrinal beliefs and standards of living, and I could proclaim them as the truth, and many of them may well be true if I said that. But I'm not interested in you knowing our Lord vicariously through me. Do you know what I mean by that? There's a word that vicariously means like a substitutionally through me. I want you to know Him for yourself. And I would say a little stronger than that, it's essential that we as individuals get to know Him for ourselves. I don't think you're going to make it very long without doing that. So I would like to ask the Lord this morning, and it's something I can't do. I can try to present the idea, and I can try to present to you the picture of God wanting to take you and me by our hands as His dear child, and take a walk in the quietness of our mind, and walk out there and speak, commune with our soul. And I won't ask you, and I won't ask you to answer it aloud, but I'd like for you to answer it in your own mind. How long has it been since you walked with the Lord? Since you've communed with Him and felt His touch? How long? And I understand that we go when sometimes we go through life and we get busy, and especially this time of year, we have so many things that come. And we're so busy with. And it takes up so much space in our time, in our mind. But all I want to encourage is to take some time. And just, I don't say these legs have to walk off into the pasture like I've done before when I lived up in Kansas. I've taken off walking out by myself. And some of those were the sweetest walks I've ever had. Because I gave the Lord some time. I have prayed fervently with my eyes wide open. It was because it seemed most appropriate at that point. Because God was like, He was over my shoulder pointing out things in front of me. I don't mean to be irreverent to the Lord at all. But by opening my eyes, I'm just saying. But I would encourage us, at least from time to time, to spend that kind of quality time with our Father. That I might know Him and His power.
Let's go over, perhaps start at the first part of Philippians, the third chapter. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. I want to stop there just a little bit. You know, there's a lot of things that we can rejoice in, and it's God doesn't say you can't. In fact, God would love for us to enjoy the world that He made in a holy and a godly manner. God made us to enjoy the beauty of His creation. And there ought to be something about whenever I see, you know, there was a song written about it. It talked about, what is that song? When I see the grandeur, it's a common song. How great thou art. That's the song. When I see all this that His hand has made, I am in awe. I was in awe the other day, and I probably mentioned it already here, but remember the northern lights we saw the other day? I was in awe at what the Lord did. He painted the sky with color. I'm always intrigued at the grandeur and also the micro things that He does. It just thrills me because that's the God that has come and touched my heart and said, "Will you walk with me, child?" That's the God. And now Brother Paul is saying, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. I have never spent a moment quietly contemplating my Lord. I've never spent that time and Him coming and sitting down and communing with my soul that I didn't thoroughly enjoy. Absolutely rejoiced. You may have looked at me and there may have been tears flowing down my face. And you may have said, "Why are you crying, brother?" It's tears of joy. Utter satisfaction of my soul. Because I knew the Lord was communing with me. Even when He, in those times of communion, when He would point out a fault of mine, I was still thoroughly happy that He did it. Oh, He does it so kindly, so rightly. When I corrected my children, I didn't do it as well as my father in heaven did. I am human and I just have my limitations. But there is some unique, great ability of our Lord to correct us most thoroughly and encourage us most completely at the same moment. Haven't you found it so? I would encourage you, if you haven't found that so, go spend some quality time with Him. Go commune. Get away. I know that's difficult to do in our world. But steal away somewhere. And I know you may have to do it with people around you, but find a way to go in a quiet corner in your mind with the Lord and start communing with Him. There's utter joy. Rejoice in the Lord. Finally, brothers. This is what Brother Paul was saying. I believe that there was things that he encountered in life that weren't always joyful. I believe that. But he said, finally, brethren, find that place. Rejoice in the Lord in the midst of all that seems to go wrong around. To write the same things to you, to me, is indeed, to me, to write the same things unto you, to me, indeed, is not grievous. It sounds to me like that probably Brother Paul had been there ministering in their midst, and perhaps he had tried to expose the gospel and the truth of Jesus Christ and what he came to do on this earth, and the kingship that he wants to establish in all of our hearts. The DNA connection, can I say it like that? The ownership, you are my child now. This understanding, this feeling that I am owned. You know, a child doesn't thrive very well if they don't feel owned. If they don't feel connected. If they don't feel like their life is important to their parents. If they don't feel some sort of connection like that, they don't thrive very well. They're always trying to find who loves me. And many times they will act out and try to find all the boundaries and try to push and rebel. And won't somebody come and care about me enough to say, child, don't do that. Well, we have a loving Heavenly Father that comes and takes not just the outside of me, but the inside of me, and dwells within our hearts, and begins there to make this deep-seated connection between us, that I feel owned, I feel loved, I feel led, I feel solid direction in my life. And young folks, I have such a burden for that generation that you may know Him for yourself. That you may, and I'm not asking you to know everything all right now, because we don't know everything right now. I don't think any of us, even Paul himself, I don't count myself to have apprehended. I haven't got all of it yet. And I believe that the Lord would have us just come to Him and know Him and then trust that He is leading me in the way everlasting, in the way of truth, in the way of righteousness, with an honest and a hungry heart. Jesus is the one who proclaimed the blessing on, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, because there will be a satisfying, there will be a filling, there will be an address. He will address the hunger of our heart. So, here, he said, I'm not grieved to write this down for you. I've been here and I've preached it in your midst, and I've tried to expose this to you. And it's the nature of us as humans. Sometimes we can hear things said, and because I don't quite know where to fit it in my life or in my mind, sometimes those things just fly over our heads and go on out there. But later on, sometimes it can be said again, and I know, because I have grown either in grace or in knowledge, or I've matured some in the Lord, and now I can take that and it fits in and so much more of an impactful in a real way in my life. Paul said, it didn't bother me to write this down for you. He said, I'm not grieved at doing it, but for you it's safe. For you, it'll be a blessing. You know, Brother Paul had some encounters with the Lord that went way beyond theory. And God wants you and I to have something that goes way beyond theory. Brother Paul was confronted on the road to Damascus in a very strong and a real way. And it turned his thinking 180 degrees around, the one that he had been so strongly opposed to and all the system that he had been so actively trying to crush. Now he bowed before that and said, "Who are you, Lord?" He called him Lord. Because he knew that whatever had just confronted him was so great that you better call him Lord. I don't think it was, maybe I said that wrongly. I think He willingly called him Lord. And he said, I'm Jesus, whom you're persecuting. And that began something in his life that changed his all the thinking that he had had at the feet of Gamaliel. You remember all that he had learned? He was a learned man. He had studied the Hebrew text. He had studied the Hebrew, the Bible, all the law of Moses that had been interpreted to his mind through Gamaliel, this great teacher. There was so much that Paul had absorbed and passionately followed after, perhaps passionately followed after to the point that he didn't even get married. Maybe that was, it seems like it's conjecture anyway, that may have been part of the reason why he wasn't even married, because he'd been so involved in learning. It was a virtuous thing to learn about the Hebrew law. And he'd given himself to that. So he had, and then the Lord confronted him on the road to Damascus, and he said, all that I had invested in, all that I had been so passionately active in, that somehow I have met someone else now. This was a personal, it went beyond just a learning of the law and knowing how to fit that in and make good arguments. This was something greater than that. This was one who confronted him and said, no, this is what it really means. And it sunk into his heart. I think when he was blind and over there in the corner and praying and said, Lord, this changes everything. I believe the Spirit began to open his blind eyes more than the crippled physical eyes. But I think his spiritual eyes began to get excited in all the scriptures that he had learned by Gamaliel now and how it fit in the carnal way of thinking. Now it got spiritualized, and his understanding was enlightened. He said, that's what it meant. And then he went out teaching others. It wasn't that he was saying the old law had no value. He didn't say that. In fact, he said there's advantage in it every way. It's wonderful that the Lord gave that old law. But he said, here is the crowning jewel to it all. The King of Glory. And here's who I want you to know. Remember when, was it Mars Hill? I believe it was that encounter where he began to teach some people who had, they were Grecians, and they had all the pantheon of Greek gods and a little icon or something for everyone. And then they had one they built over here. They said, you know, perhaps we missed one that we haven't encountered yet. And I'm going to make the little shrine over here and say to the unknown God. And Paul said, I came here to tell you about that one. Because I know him. Why? It wasn't a theory. Brother Paul had something. He had encountered the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he had something. Let me tell you about him. And he said, this one that you all have built these great pantheons, built these great temples over here in Greece, and it's a wonderful works of art and all that, but seeing that God is not honored by these temples built with hands, and that's not where he dwells, but he dwells down in the hearts of mankind in a very real way. And I want to somehow cause that statement to enter into your heart to the point that you realize that God wants to dwell individually with every one of us here this morning in a very personal and a very real way. That you can know Him and the power of His resurrection. And when I say that, it's more than just Him rising from the grave. That's one great, though, that's fantastic. That's a fantastic truth. But it's even more of a fantastic truth when He arises with healing in your heart and you are changed and you come up to rise and live in newness of life. And then you say, now I know Him. He's touched me and made me whole. He's changed me. If any man is in Christ, don't go over those words so quickly. If any man has come into Christ, and Christ, he said, was it in Revelation where he said, well, I'll sup with him. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door. How is that? I'll come in, or we will come out. I forget how it's spoken. Oh, right here. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him. Then it says, I think I will sup with him and he with me. You notice the relationship that he's painting here. It's not of a foreign entity that's so far off and somehow has grandeur in my mind of over there. But no, it's a God with us. It's Emmanuel that is with me. And upon this rock, I'll build my church. It's a very personal revelation from God. It's a very personal knowing. It's more than theology. It's more than doctrine. It's more than a long-held standard. And I'm not or a creed. And I'm not casting off on those. But I'm saying all those, if they're true, were built first on relationship with God. It's the reason why they came out. It's the reason why the doctrine is under. And it can only be properly understood when I know the author. We can only truly understand what holiness is if I know Him. Part of what I wrote up there, I say, yes, I would compel, I wish somehow I could say, know Him. But Jesus says it a little bit differently. He says, come unto me. He wants to present Himself as a knowable Heavenly Father that we can encounter Him on a life-changing basis. To you it's safe if I share this, he says. If I'm going to write it to you, rejoice in the Lord. I don't mind saying this again. It's not grievous to me to write this down. For you it's safe. Then he said, beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of concision. Oh, I think at that time, he was talking about those who would draw the new converts back into under the legal adherence to the Mosaic law. I think that's really what he was saying here, because there were some that were wanting to impose that type of system back on them. And in doing so, they would have to do it to the degree that they were talking about. It would actually overshadow Christ and actually take Him out of the way. We would go back then to the old law system of having a lamb to sacrifice. Well, Jesus is our lamb. He's the lamb that takes away the sin of the world. So, Brother Paul said, because there was such a difficulty of the early church and the early Jewish believers, they naturally had a sensitivity. They almost felt like they were breaking the law by doing some of the things that they were, and so they had difficulty. And then there were some that took advantage of that sensitivity of their heart, and they began to still choose, for one thing, the Jewish leaders didn't want to lose their source of power. And so they would come back and enforce it on them again, taking advantage of their sensitive conscience and say, you've got to do it. And Paul called that type of action a dog. That's hard on people. That's ravenous. That's mean. And he said, beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision of those who would like to drive wedges between you and the Lord. Beware of those who would like to take over that place in your soul that God owns now. That personal walk that you've heard His voice, you felt His touch, you believe, and something has been has happened in your heart that has borne witness to the fact that your Lord and Savior lives. Now, don't let anybody divide you. Don't beware of the concision, that would try to change. He said, because we are of the circumcision, which worship God in spirit and rejoice in Christ. You remember the woman at the well? The Samaritan woman at the well. You know, Samaritans were these people who... They were of a Jewish lineage, but not all. There was a corruption of their Jewish lineage. And it developed such a separation between them and the worship over here at Jerusalem that they were banned. They weren't allowed to come to the temple. There was some animosity between all of that. And some of the Samaritans had set up their worship temple and in many ways mimicked what was going over in the temple at Jerusalem. And they tried, and some of them said, no, this is it. And there was this such strong division between both of them. Samaritans really didn't like the Jews because the Jews didn't treat them right, and the Jews didn't like the Samaritans. There was this animosity that God never intended to have. And it built this carnal way of acting Jesus didn't do it. And there was a Samaritan woman at this well, and Jacob's well. The well is about 130 some feet deep. And Jesus said, would you give me a drink? And she said, why are you talking with me? Well, we don't want to go through all the fine details of the story. But what I would like for us to focus on is that by the time he was through talking with her, she believed he was the Messiah. He told her he was. She said, I perceive you're a prophet. What you've been saying, nobody can just say this. This is something special here. You speak to me about a living water. You speak to me about something that will come up within me that satisfies me, and I'll never be thirsty again. See, this woman was thirsty. This woman had tried many companions, say it like that. She had tried, there had been so, I don't know what all had happened in her life, but she had tried all these, and none of it satisfied. She was still thirsty, and Jesus said, give me a drink. And she said, Jesus said, if you knew who it was talking with you, you'd ask me for a drink. She said, how are you going to get that? You don't have anything to get it as well as deep. He said, the water that I have to give you will be a well springing up unto everlasting life inside your heart. It'll be more than this well here. It'll be something that'll walk with you when you go from here. And all this intrigued her mind, and She said, "You must be a prophet. You just told me that the one I'm with right now is not even my husband." And she said, "We've heard that Messiah will come. And when He comes, He'll tell us all things." And He said to her, "I am Him." I shortened that. "But the one who's speaking with you right now is Him." And she believed. And she went back and told them. The Samaritans. You see what? Jesus is very personal, folks. It's real. And yes, we can claim and rightly claim that He was killed on the cross and He was buried. And He spent that time in the tomb. And the third day He arose. And He's real. One of the reasons why I can tell you real is because I've encountered Him in a very real way. Over and over and over again. I've encountered Him when He lovingly corrected my aberrant ways. I've encountered Him when I needed counsel and I begged. In the Old Testament, there's a verse, and I forget where it is. I'll refer to it quickly. It said, "I'll be found of you in the day when you seek me with your whole heart. I'll be found of you." I don't have that whole scripture, but it's that part is in the scripture. And I believe that the Lord would have us to be earnest enough and real enough and intentional enough that wherever we are today, whether you feel like I've walked with the Lord for the last 30, 40 years, and you feel like I'm pretty well secure, be careful that you don't fall. Or if you feel like that I've got trouble in my soul today and I don't know how to handle it, the same God knows how to address both. I want us to know that there is a God who's very personal and He'll take us by the hand and changes. I don't have time to go through all the chapter like I was intending to. But the things that Paul had been so invested in had completely changed around. The things that he had circumcised the eighth day, he was such a good Jew. He was such a good adherer to the old law system. He said he was faultless. I don't have it right. Blameless. End of the sixth verse. Touching the righteousness which is by the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss. What for? Why did he count them lost? Because his eyes had seen something, he had encountered something more real, more personal, something that goes down and changes a man in his heart, something that was greater than all his adherence to the old law. And I want to tell you today, if you're serving the Lord out of just what the saints have always taught, I want to encourage you to move beyond that. God's got something real for you that personalizes something to our hearts, then you can properly understand the standards of God's holy and righteous ways in your life. Without it, it's just going to be rules and regulations, and it will be oppressive. But oh, when you get to know Him, get to know Him, it changes everything. It did that for Brother Paul on the road to Damascus. Changed it all. The things which were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ, for the excellency of knowing Him. Jesus the Christ, my Lord, is what Paul said. For whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but worthless, but dung, but something to be cast aside. And that I may win Christ and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness that He had gained, which was according to the law, His adherence, perfect adherence to the law, that, He said, doesn't hold a candle to this walk now that I have with the Lord, but that which is through faith, that which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering, being made conformable to His death, if by any means I might attain to the resurrection of the dead. I believe that one day we will be raised. I believe that one day our bodies, and I don't know what it's going to be. If you're going to ask me what that's going to be like, I'm going to say, I don't know. It does not yet appear. I don't know. But this one thing I know. That we'll be raised and we'll be caught up together in the air to be with the Lord. I can give you some scriptures and tell you what maybe some others have said, but I'm going to tell you, I'm going to run out of my ability to tell you what heaven's like. I don't know. But I know enough to know that the one I'm walking with here and knowing here, if that's just a little foretaste, I want to go. Oh, yes, I want to go. The devil's going to have a hard time prying away from the love of God, the soul who knows Him. The soul who has found Him rich. And so therefore this morning I want to encourage us. Get to know the Lord. Get to know Him. And that is done through spending time with Him. Giving Him space. Seeking His face. Willingly saying, Lord, come into my heart. Reveal yourself to me that I may walk. Young people, if you get to know Him, you're going to have a more confident step. And you're going to hold your head a little higher. You don't have anything to be ashamed of. No, I know the King. And there will be a lot of people will come with their confusing questions. And you can say, well, that don't ring right. That's not the one I know. There's a lot of other interpretation that'll come into. I want to tell you, when you know Him, the devil will have an awful hard time shaking you. And so today, I just want to encourage us. Know your Heavenly Father. Your identity as His child is extremely valuable to Him and to you. And God wants you and I to seek His face. Until we, what is it said? Till He reign righteousness. That's another Old Testament. Till He reign righteousness in our hearts. Pray for me. I want to serve Him.